Blog Talk Radio.
Good Sunday to you. Don Pencil here, ready for our weekly Bible study. Today's study will be titled, What the Bible Says About the Character of a Christian. Christians should have certain characteristics in their personality, in their person. People should be able to tell that you're a Christian from the way you present yourself, from the way you act. Now, this is pretty much your everyday way. Every once in a while, we might slip, we might fall from it, but we come right back to this way of life, this way of living, this way of reacting to things. So today we're going to cover a whole lot of ground, and we might have to break this in half and take it a couple weeks, because there's a lot of characteristics that should be in the Christian life. So we want you to prepare your hearts, prepare your mind, and we're going to go into a little bit of worship. And then when we come out of worship, we will begin this, giving people a time to get their mind set, get their heart set, maybe get somebody on the phone to listen, get your Bible ready, get your pen and your notepad ready, because we're going to go through a lot of Bible. And as always, I want you to study the Bible. Study these verses. Actually read them. Read them in context, again, to make sure that what I am giving to you is the actual Word of God, not just my take on the Word of God, but the Word of God, so that Word of God can speak to you and change your life, so that we might be better Christians at the end of the day. That's what we're looking for, and we're looking for a lifestyle. Not just little blimps on the screen, but lifestyle, consistency. So let's worship for a few minutes. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see your glory. I want to be near you. That is our prayer this morning, this afternoon, wherever you're at in the world today. We want to be better Christians. We want to be Christ-like. We want our life to speak volumes of our relationship with the Lord. Well, here we are. You have your Bibles. You have your notepad and your pen. And you have contacted somebody and said, hey, I'm listening to this Bible broadcast. Won't you listen to? Because as we all get better at this Christian walk, our environment gets better. And the world around us is changed for the glory of God. And that's what we want to be. We want to be little lighthouses to the glory of God, so that others might see Jesus in us, the hope of glory. All right, so you have your Bibles. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14, 38. Mark chapter 14, 38. I'll be reading today from one of the Amplified translations of the Bible, and we're going to see if we can get some insight. You're welcome to use your King James, your NIV, your American Standard, or whatever translation or paraphrase helps you to understand it. Just remember that you'll want to stay away from those translations that I gave at the onset of our Bible study, because those are not true translations. So here we are, Mark chapter 14, verse 38, in your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, second book in the New Testament. And I will read it for you. Read with me. Keep awake and watch and pray constantly, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We're looking today at character qualities that you should find in a Christian. And these are not for you to look at some other Christian and test what qualities they have. These are for you to look at your own life and see what qualities you have and what qualities you might need to work on. So our first quality today is alertness. A Christian should be alert. And we contrast this to unawareness. There are many things going on in our lives today, in our world today, in our communities today, in our countries today, that people would like to stick their head in the sand as if it's not going on. We need to be alert because we need to know how to pray. We need to know when to pray. We need to know when to act. We need to know how to act. So alertness. We got to be aware of that which is taking place around me, so that I can have the right response to it. Alertness. That's your first one. Stay with me. We're going to just go through these and we're going to talk about them. But we don't have to stay, you know, we don't have to camp out, because we've got a lot to do and we got a lot to go on. So stay with me, and we're going to get this done today. We're not going to try to keep you way long. We're going to do as much as we can, and then we'll, you know, come back and get this again maybe the week after next, or, you know, in a later broadcast. And so we're going to learn these Christian characteristics. All right, turn to Hebrews 2, verse 1. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Now, as I give these Bible verses, if you're having trouble, if you're not familiar with, you know, where your books in the Bible are, you know, don't be ashamed to use your table of contents. Don't be ashamed. That'll help you get there quicker, and you could stay up with us. Also, write the verses down again so that you can go back and study them in context, and so that, you know, if you forget when you're trying to find them, you don't have to rely on me saying it over and over again. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Okay, since all this is true, we ought to pay much closer attention than ever to the truths that we have heard, lest in any way we drift past them and slip away. Now, I really, really, really encourage you, read Hebrews chapter 1, so that you know what we're talking about in context, so that you know that we're in the right time and the right place. First trait was alertness. This second trait, attentiveness versus unconcern. The trait is attentiveness. Showing the worth of a person by giving undivided attention to his words and emotions. I want you to be attentive to what I share with you today. I want you to be attentive to the people that you minister to. I want you to be attentive to the people in your life, to the people that you might come across. Being attentive is a Christian characteristic. It's a characteristic that Jesus had. Jesus made people oftentimes feel like they were the only one in the room. Like, you know, though they were in the midst of a crowd, that he was talking only to them. Attentiveness versus unconcern. People don't want to feel like they don't matter to you. People want to feel like their matters and concerns matter to you. Nobody's going to come to you for ministry or for help unless they understand that they matter, that you are concerned, that you are attentive to what they're saying, that you are attentive to the emotions behind what they say to you. So we want to be attentive. Got that? Great. And again, we're not camping out now. We're trying to get enough of this Bible into you so that you have power, confidence, and feel equipped with the Word. Let's turn further into the New Testament, Philippians 2, Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to take verses 20 and 21. Philippians 2, verses 20 and 21. Let's read. For I have no one like him, no one of so kindred a spirit, who will be so genuinely interested in your welfare and devoted to your interest. For the others all seek to advance their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This character trait that we're going to talk about right now is availability. Availability. Making my own schedule and priorities secondary to the wishes of those I am serving. So we're talking about availability versus self-centeredness. The Christian should have the spirit of availability versus the spirit of self-centeredness. We should put those we are serving ahead of ourselves. Let me say that again. We should put those we are serving ahead of ourselves. Kind of tough, isn't it? But we're talking about the characteristics of a Christian. We're talking about being Christ-like. And we know that Christ gave his own life. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was bruised for our iniquities, for our sins. He shed his blood to cover our sin. He took our punishment so that we can have a relationship with him and the Father through him. He was available to be the sacrificial lamb for us. He went through pain and agony and what felt like an absence of the presence of the Father. He made himself available. Who will come and go for me? Here am I, Lord. Send me. This is what the prophet said. This is what God might be asking this very day and this time. Who will come and go with me? Who will come and go for me? Who will tell the story? Are you available today? Are you available for the Lord? Are you alert to what's going on around us? Are you attentive to the needs of the people in your community, in your world? Are you available to be part of the solution? Availability, quite important. Are you taking notes? Are you still with me? Am I still preaching Bible? Good. Don't get mad at me now. Don't get mad at me because the Bible is a little strong. We're giving you the goal. We're giving you something to look for. We're giving you something to strive for. There's no condemnation in the message today. Just some education and maybe some motivation, because we want you to go forth and to be strong in the Lord. We want you to be a lighthouse. turn in your Bible, New Testament, Acts. Acts 4:29. Need you in Acts 4:29. And now, Lord, observe their threats and grant to your bondservants full freedom to declare your message freely. That's Acts 4:29. What's our trait? Boldness. Boldness versus fearfulness. We want confidence that what I have to say or do is true and right and just in the sight of God. In today's world, it's hard to stand up and be a Christian. It's hard to stand up and say this is right, that is wrong. It's hard to stand up and point the way to the cross when everybody is trying to go their own way and do their own thing. It's hard to be a man or woman of morals, a man or woman of values, a man or woman of Christ when everybody is trying to do their own thing. Everybody is trying to make themselves feel good, themselves look good, themselves in a better position. We want to display the boldness as opposed to fearfulness to stand and do right in the midst of a culture who would to do wrong, in the midst of an environment whose value system is not godly, in the midst of a people who would justify their wrongdoing, their shortcomings. They would say, well, they're not the only one who does this wrong. They're not the only one who does this evil thing. They're not the only one trying to go the wrong way. We must be bold to speak truth. We must be bold to do the right thing at the right time. Many of us stand at a crossroads to where the crowd is pulling us to go one way, and that one way is not God's way. That one way is counter to the ways of the Lord. That one way is opposite to the Bible way. But for sake of comfort, for sake of putting ourselves first, for sake of what we can get out of the deal, for fear that going the right way will cause us some uncomfort, we choose to stand with the ungodly, forsake that we might lose a nonprofit status, forsake that we might lose our position of favor with the world. We make bad choices. We want to be bold and possess boldness so that we can stand at a time when Christians really need to stand as Christians. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the middle of your Bible, Proverbs 19, verse 2. Proverbs 19, verse 2. It's Old Testament. We've been in the New Testament. Now we want to go Old Testament and bring a little balance. Okay, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. Desire without knowledge is not good. And to be over hasty is to sin and to miss the mark. Wow, that one's powerful. Let's read it again. Let's read it slowly. Read it with me. Desire without knowledge is not good. And to be over hasty is to sin and miss the mark. What's our trait? Cautiousness. Cautiousness. There is a time to be cautious and not rashness. We don't want to rush in. We want to be cautious, knowing how important right timing is in accomplishing right actions. You want to be cautious and not just run in and be over hasty, because that is the sin. And missing the mark. God has a mark for us to hit. God has something he wants for us to do. God has a purpose for our lives. You want to be on God's side. You don't want to be on the world's side. A lot of things in our lives, we put this opposed to this. This opposed to this. The media would have us be either or. Well, if it's an either or, I want to be on the side of God. I want to check and see what God says about a thing before I say my part about the thing. Because if my part is against God's part, I need to change my part. I need to change my position because I don't want to be in opposition to what God has to say about a thing. Again, many of us are at a crossroads right now. We have choices we need to make. We have choices we need to make that are going to be long term. They're going to have long term effects. Choices that, if made wrong, number one, is sin. Number two, the consequences of these choices will probably last for the rest of our lifetime. So we need to be cautious that we're not being led away from the word, led away from our Christian values, led away from our God-given purpose in this life. Don't have a desire without knowledge. That's not good. We've got to get knowledge. We've got to understand what is going on. In all you're getting, seek understanding. Don't be a sheep and be led astray. Be a sheep and follow your shepherd, the good shepherd. Don't follow a wolf in sheep's clothing. Don't do it, church. Be cautious. Check it out. Don't let the world fool you. You Remember, this thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil doesn't always come with a pitchfork and horns. Oftentimes, he comes as an angel of light. He makes it look good. Don't be fooled. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Be led by the Spirit of God. So that you might not sin against God in your zeal, in your desire without knowledge. That's the Word of God, folks. You read it. You study it. You make sure that I'm giving you the Word. All right, go ahead and turn to 1 John 3:17. 1 John, that's one of the small Johns. It's towards the back of the New Testament. Not the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but you pass that. You keep on going back. And it's 1 John 3:17. 1 John 3:17. Here I go. But if anyone has this world's goods, resources for sustaining life, and sees his brother and fellow believer in need, yet closes his heart of compassion against him, how can the love of God live and remain in him? Wow, that's powerful, saints. That's powerful. This is a Christian trait. What trait? Compassion. As opposed to indifference, the Christian is to show compassion, not to be indifferent. If you have something and your brother needs something and you have it, you should share with your brother. Yes, we live in a time and in a day where it's gimme, gimme, gimme. And where we're heaping onto ourselves things, while our brothers and sisters go hungry, go unclothed, go unhoused. Sometimes the need is not material. Sometimes the need is companionship. Sometimes the need is just a listening ear. Sometimes the need costs you nothing but time, but effort, but attention, being available for somebody. But we're talking about the world's goods. If you have the resources and you do not share, you close off your heart of compassion against those in need. The question comes, and this is Bible, how can the love of God live or remain in you? If you have it to give and yet are not moved to give, because the love of God gives. So if the love of God is indeed in you, and you know that there is a need that you can fill, please don't hesitate to give to meet that need. God himself will share with you what you need to give unto a brother or sister. And we'll see further that just to give to a brother and sister, but deny other folks, is not good either. If you have it to give and you know someone else needs what you have to give, you should give it in Jesus' name so that maybe they will see the love of God in you and they may turn to God because they see God's love in action through you. We're talking about character qualities that a Christian should have. Traits that are good character traits. Turn now to 1 Timothy 6, verse 8. 1 Timothy 6, verse 8. 1 Timothy 6, verse 8. Stay with me. We only got a little bit further to go. And I need you to be alert. I need you to be attentive. Because this word is a good, strong word. This word will help people to know where they should turn. A lot of people are looking for Christ. And they're looking for Christ within his people. A lot of us listening to this Bible study today have had our feelings hurt by the collective body of Christ, the local church. And we're not in local church today because we've been hurt by God's people. We did not see these character qualities, these character traits in the collective group. So we decided not to be a part of that group. So I'm turning this inward. We're all to be looking at these verses, these character qualities, and putting that as a mirror in front of ourselves to see how we might need to grow in Christ. All right, 1 Timothy 6, verse 8. But if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Satisfied. But if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content, satisfied. Now again, read these verses in context, folks, so that you get the whole content. Now, the last one was compassion for our brother. The next is contentment versus covetousness. Realizing that God has provided everything I need for my present happiness. Be content. If you have food and you have clothing, be content. Am I saying it's a sin to want more than what you have? No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying be content with what you have. Be happy that God has provided for you as he has provided for you. Don't covet. Don't look at your neighbor and say, well, he has this, this, and this. I should have this, this, and this as well. God has provided you with what you need to do what he would have you to do. So when looking at your neighbor, you should be looking at what your neighbor might need as opposed to what you might want that your neighbor has. Yep. I know that's a little hard because we have been so indoctrinated to be self-centered. We're not Christ-centered like we ought to be. We're not looking at the benefit of the whole. We're not looking at the benefit of the group. We're looking at ourselves. And we're wanting for ourselves. This is not the godly way to be. This is not the Christ-like way to be. Contentment. See, if we can learn to be content, we'll learn happiness. We'll learn true joy. We'll be able to have compassion to the next guy when we're not so busy grabbing, 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 trying to get what we can get. Sure doesn't look like I'm going to get to the 20 that I wanted to get to. But like I said, we'll just turn this into a series and we'll get them in. We will grow in Christ. We will grow together. All right, go ahead and turn to Psalms. Then back to the middle of the Bible there in the Old Testament. Psalms 15, verse 4. Psalms 15, verse 4. All right. Let's read. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he who honors those who fear the Lord, who revere and worship him, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Well, folks, what are we talking about? We're talking about creativity. Now, for sure, you're going to have to get this one in context. But the character trait is creativity versus underachievement. There are so many underachievers in the church. But I am here to tell you that God has put something in you that is needed in the body that you serve. Whether it be the local church, whether it be a denominational office, whether it be, you know, a community. God's given you a gift. And we'll do a study on gifting and finding your place and fulfilling your purpose. Because with that gift, God's given you a purpose. And with that purpose, he's given you a gift. And he wants you to be creative because he's given you creativity. And he wants you to do something with that gift. You remember the parable where he gave the gifts and the one fella buried his and did nothing with it. And you know how that ends. It doesn't end well for that fella. God wants you to do something with the gift, the abilities, the knowledge that he's given you. This is why part of the reason why I started this Bible study, because God has blessed me with the ability to preach the word, to teach the word. He has anointed me with that gift. He has placed me in a position. He has given me the tools and the resources needed to make this thing happen. And so I would be remiss if in this day and time, when the Bible and the Word is needed to be clearly examined and taught to God's people, I'd be remiss if I didn't do it, because that's my gifting, that's my purpose, that's my calling, if you will. And I have to be creative about how to get it out there, how to reach the world. 30 years ago, I could not do this like this. Now, I can be here in my studio, in my home, and I can reach the world and preach and teach the word. I can be faithful to the call on my life. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. What's your gifting? What's your calling? What's your purpose? Be creative. Do not be an underachiever. Do not just sit and partake, partake, partake. You should partake, and you should receive, but you should also be giving, giving and sharing with your brother, with your sister, with the lost and dying world that's going astray. There's a balance to it. Do not be an underachiever. That's not a good Christian trait. Be creative. Use your gift. Use your talent. Bring glory to the Lord. All right, back to the New Testament. Back to the New Testament. Let's go with 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. Second Timothy 4:7-8. Y'all stick with me. We only have a few minutes left. We're talking about Christian characteristics, or character qualities that you should have in your Christian life. We're not looking to examine someone else's life. We're looking to examine our own life. All right, 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I have fought the good, worthy, honorable, and noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept firmly held the faith. As to what remains, henceforth, there is laid up for me the victor's crown of righteousness, for being right with God and doing right, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me and recompense me on that great day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have loved and yearned for and welcomed his appearing, which is his return. What's the quality trait? Determination versus faint-heartedness. Determination, purposing to accomplish God's goals in God's time, regardless of the opposition. Come on, saints. Look at this right there. You got to purpose in your heart that you are going to follow God, that you are going to fulfill the purpose that God has given you in your life, regardless of how hard it gets. Don't quit in the middle of the race. Be determined that you are going to finish the race, that you are going to finish strong, that you are going to keep fighting until the last bell rings. Do it in such a manner that when Christ returns, you can be looking forward to his returning, not so you can escape, but so that you can hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Don't get scared and bow down to the enemy because the enemy might seem large, that the task might seem unsurmountable. Don't stop fighting. You stand on the word of God. You stand on principle. You stand with your Christian values. Do not compromise your Christian values. If your Bible tells you that one way is right, do not compromise and go the other way. You stand your ground. Stand your ground. Stand on the word of God and fulfill your purpose. Fulfill your purpose. Well, folks, I have a lot more to go, and we could, you know, do this for several hours, but our time has come to a close today, and I figure this is a good place to wrap it up for today. Now, you can look forward to parts 2 and 3 to follow. Next week, we will do a study, and I believe next week's study is on the fruit of the Spirit, which will kind of go along with this. So we will not, continue this particular lesson. Next week, we'll do the fruit of the Spirit. And then the following weeks, we'll pick back up on part 2, probably a part 3, and maybe even a 4 on these Christian character traits. Because I really feel like it's important for us as Christian people to know what we ought to look like. If God has been in us and through us and is leading us, then we ought to be walking towards looking like him. For we were created in his image. Sin has tarnished that image. And so now that we are born again, born anew, and now that we are studying his word, we should look more like him. So we need to be washed in the word. We need to have our minds renewed by the word. And that will help us to be better stronger, more pleasing to God as Christian people. So now I want to ask you to reflect on the word that has been shared with you today. These 12 character traits of a Christian. Shine the light of the word up against your character. See where you need to get better at. See where God tells you you're doing great at it. Thank God for where you're great and ask the Lord to bless you, to teach you, to train you, to help you develop, and to form you in a way so that your life is pleasing to Him. Open up your heart so that the Lord, by His Spirit, may change you. Again, there's no condemnation here. There's encouragement. There may be conviction. If convicted, confess, ask for forgiveness, and repent, which means turn around. Develop the character traits of a good Christian person. But you can't do it by yourself. But if the love of the Lord is in you, then through His power you can do it. If you've never asked the Lord to come into your heart and to make you that which you should be, to save you, to save your soul, to make a disciple out of you, so that you can be in fellowship with Him. If you've never done that, now would be a good time to do it. Ask the Lord to come into your heart. Ask the Lord to walk with you. Ask the Lord to be your Lord, your Savior, your Master. Ask Him to teach you His ways and to put you in a heart position to where His ways are higher than your ways. Ask Him to show you His purpose for your life. For His purpose is the higher purpose. Thanks for being with me today. Come back next Sunday, the same time, same place. Share this podcast with your friends. Share this podcast on your Facebook page. And hey, join the conversation within the group, God's Bible Study Group. And let's talk about good Christian character. God bless you. Thanks for your prayer support. Thanks for your financial support. If you have it to give and would to give, then we certainly can use it to make this broadcast better. God bless you, and we'll see you again.